Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're holding the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah is roughly 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Look to Mishnah. Ir sheyesh ba avodas kechavim, v'hoyu ba chanoyos mu'utaros v'she'enim mu'utaros. Then we have the words ir sheyesh ba avodas kechavim. Rashi already told us yesterday that we're talking about b'yoyim id shalehem, on the day of their religious holidays. And in that city where they had that religious holiday, on that day, there were two groups of stores. Some of them were mu'utarais, enhanced and adorned, and some were not. Now, the Mishnah doesn't tell us what type of enhancements they had, but we'll see in the Gemara shortly that there were, in fact, two different types of ways that they were enhanced, either with a verid v'hadas. Verid, of course, is roses. Hadas are hadasim that we have on Sukkis, that have a very nice smell, as well as others had peiros. They had spread out very nice fruit. Why, when, where, explains Rashi. The reason why they made them utares was to indicate that these stores charge a special tax, and that tax is paid over to the church, to the Avodah Zarah. If you look at the Rashi quickly, says Rashi, v'hoyu bo chanuyos mu'utarois, parallel to the beginning of our Mishnah, the Simen Hulahem, that was like a large sign. Shoisen Chanuya Shalavitz Khovim, Shalavitz Khovim, Haim, Lito Mehem Mechas. That these were owned by, we don't mean an Oved Khovim, by a Gentile or by an idolater, but what we mean is that these belonged to, was a church property or a church store. And they would go and charge Mechas, some sort of sales tax, for all those buying stuff on the Yom Id. The She'enim Mutaris, on the other hand, did not charge a tax, and apparently did not belong to the church or to the Avodah Zarah, and therefore, no tax. So what's the story? So the Mishnah, Zohya Maisa Beit She'an, this was a Maisa that took place in Beit She'an. Beit She'an is a city in Eretz Yisrael, which at that time had many idolaters living there. V'yomu Chachama, Hamutarais, Hasurais. Those are mutaris, and therefore you're giving them a benefit by giving them mechas for the Avodah Zarah. It's awesome. But those which are not mutaris are mutar. Now what's the reason why the mutaris are asur, besides the fact that they paid the mechas, the tax that enhanced the church coffers? When I say church, I'm using that as a loose term. I really mean for the Avodah Zarah, for the idols. What's the reason why Eina Mutaris are Mutaris? We'll see shortly in the Gemara. But Rashi points out that L'chayra, I don't understand why we're focusing Yo on taxes, Nisht on taxes. Don't we have a problem that it's B'yoyim Id Shalehen? And B'yoyim Id, at the very least, you should not be able to do any Mekachu Memker because of the first Mishnah Mesechta. And in fact, it's not only on the holiday itself. It's already from 3 days before the holiday. So why is our Mishnah talking about Dafka Mutaris, Nish Mutaris? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that we had, remember, in the Gemara, two reasons. Either if you're selling them an animal, they may use it for Takrovis Avodah Zarah, and you'll be over on Lefnei'ivr Le'Sitan Mechshol. Or the second pshat was the Harvacha, which means that the Avodah Zarah, are going to go and be moided in their churches in front of their idols. Oh, I have panusa this week, etc. So the chayyad has nothing to do with the taxes. So Rashi is already bothered by this kasha, and Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi, she'enon mu'utaris mutaris. Look, Rashi, the ba'oisin she'en mutaris le'shakli minayim mechsel boidis kechavim. They don't take any sales tax. They don't charge tax. V'loy matel boidis kechavim anomi nayu. And therefore, the Avodah Zarah doesn't get any benefit. Isn't that a problem like we had at the beginning of our Mesechta? Hani Mili, so now, if you recall, when we learned Daf Beis, we quoted this Rashi, but just to remind us, what does Rashi say? Hani Mili Lizvuni Luhu. That problem is only to sell to them. Why? Because Dilma Mazben Le Behema. Maybe you're going to sell them an animal. So that's the reason that we had before. Of Lefnei Iver, Loisitein Mechshol, you're facilitating the bringing of the Avodah Zarah. Or inami, the other pshat is, derech lekeach liyos sameach v'ozel umoydi. That was the harvacha reason that we gave in the Gemara, that he's going to go and thank his idol. Oh, I did a good deal today, I made a lot of money. Aval, so not I made a lot of money, I purchased an item from the Jew. In other words, a Jew is not supposed to sell to them, whether it's a behema, where you have a lifnei iver situation, or even if you sell them something else, a brand new watch, a brand new kos, a brand new dining room set, or whatever it is. He's going to be so happy. Oh, kibaldik. Aval the mizma minayu dovra miskayim. To buy from them something which is miskayim, something which has a long-term shelf life, then that charge, that's already mutter. Why this? Moicher otseifu. Because normally a moicher is upset about selling his belongings. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a person who is a retailer who's in the business of selling, because every day that he makes more sales, he's happy. He's not upset. So we must be talking about, the way Rashi learns, a person who is selling things which are, he has some sort of sentimental attachment to, or it's something that has been in the family for a long time, something which he can use, a personal item, and the fact that he is selling it, as far as he's concerned, he's happy, he gets the money. In fact, he may have had a fire sale or a garage sale because he had to go and raise funds. However, the fact that he has to go and sell these items, that causes him a certain degree of grief, and therefore, instead of going into the Avodah Zarah and smiling and bringing a sacrifice, he might go and be crying and saying, ay, 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 what this holiday has done and what this idol has done, I've lost money, blah, blah, blah. Okay, on to the Gemara. Amr b'shem Lakish. Loishanu elim mutarais beverid v'hadas. That that we said in our Mishnah, that mutaris are surais. So Reb Shimon Lakish doesn't focus on the meches, but rather he focuses on something entirely different. And that is that if you come into the store, and the store has in it all these verid and hadasim, all hanging up all over the store, he's going to have hano'a to come as hani mei reicha. What's reicha? From the wonderful aroma, from the wonderful scent of these flowers. And therefore, that's the reason why it's awesome. Abu mutaris peperis. If what they hung up were apples and oranges, even though it might be very picturesque, and even though they're charging a meches, a sales tax, that's mutter. My time, what's the problem of smelling the aroma and the scent of these flowers? The Yom HaKrod says, the apostle, Yidbak b'yorcha ma'uma min ha'cherem. You're not allowed to have any hano, as the Gemara says. Nenahu di'osr. Yidbak b'yorcha ma'uma min ha'cherem means that you're not allowed to take and keep with you any hano from either the Avodah Zarah or even from Takroivis Avodah Zarah. Takroivis again means those things that you sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara is now, although the Gemara doesn't say so, Rashi already supplies the hint or the secret that we're talking about Takrevis Avodah Zarah, meaning that that morning, Lamarshal, or perhaps the day before, they made a beautiful, beautiful ornament around the Avodah Zarah, Lahavdil, similar to what many people do when they make a chuppah. They hang up all of these beautiful flowers on top and on bottom and on the sides to really make it look beautiful. So, some people donated these flowers for the Avodah Zarah, brought it, if you will, as a sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah. They didn't burn it as a sacrifice, but they brought it as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah and saying, ah, you Avodah Zarah, I love you so much, here are these flowers, ah. Now, what is the Avodah Zarah going to do with the flowers? So, when everybody leaves, then the priests go and take the flowers, they hang it up in the stores, and now people that come into those stores and smell the flowers, they're having hano'a from the reyach. And therefore they are transgressing the pasuk, liyidbak b'yorcha ma'uma min ha'cherem, the nehena du di'asr, you're not allowed to have hano'a. Now Barry, although he's not raising his hand, he is raising his eyebrows, because he's concerned about the fact that we say in other gemaras, that reyach ein bo mamish. And if reyach ein bo mamish, why do you have a problem if you smell the reyach? Big deal. It's nothing tangible. It's just a smell. And in fact,
we say Reach Mara and Kol Eimbo Mishmeila.
Very strong thing. Actually, very important.
Koil Mara Vereich Eimbo Mishmeila. That's exactly correct. And the what this discussion that you're having is the second Toisus from the bottom of the Amud, and Toisus says Hikshir Beitam from other Gemaras. So we see the Shori that smelling is Mutter Mishum De Reich Lav Milzi. Reich is garnished. Our Gemara says that Reich is Yah. Epis. What are you telling me is garnished? Betiris deshani ver v'hodas dekrayu l'reicha kaimi. The whole reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu created roses and hadasim is to use for reyach. V'havi kimoi ketoiris. It's as if you are bringing ketoiris in the base of Medish. De'afli achish enasim mitzvasei. Even after the Kohen Gadol brings that ketoiris, the Kohen that brings the ketoiris in the base of Medish, even after he's done, nehi she'ein mayalim boy, like Barry quoted, that koil mar v'reich ein boi mishum mi'ila, no mi'ila, but isura mik'ika, but there is an isur. V'afil loya v'ikray l'reicha, shem yesh l'esur. Even if you're talking about those things which are not designed by the Rabbeinu Shalom for Vered v'hadas, for reich, if you have hanoah from the reich, also there is an isur, even though there is no din of mi'ila, but there is a din of isur. So therefore what our Gemara is saying is, the same thing applies to the Vered and Hodas of the Takroivis of Avodah Zarah, that for our purposes, there's enough to be Aser. That's why, says Reb Shimon Lakish, if you have the Vered and Hodas, no good, don't go on the Yom Id, you're going to have to be Nene from the Reach, but if it's Mutaris Beperis, it's okay. But we have a problem. Even though it may be okay, Mutaris Beperis, you're not having Hanoah, but you are giving sales tax to the Avodah Zarah. Says Reb Shimon Lakish, that is not a problem. A mahana is shari. I don't have a pasuk to answer it. I have the pasuk of having hanoa from leyidbak biyotchem umen menacher. But I don't have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to be mahana them. Tab Toisi says, I don't understand that. You're allowed to give hanoa for the Avodah Zarah. You're allowed to go and pay them sales tax. Come on, that sounds so strange. We're going to see in a moment that Rabbi Yochanan, of course, disagrees. But Toisus has two terutzim, and Toisus says that you're not allowed to give hanoah to Avodah Zarah if it's only large amounts, if it's hanoah yisera. But paying sales tax, a chvais of 2% on certain items or something, that is not considered to be a meaningful hanoah, according to the first pshat in Toisus, and that's why Rish Lakish is not concerned. He's only concerned about the hodas and the vered, but he's not concerned about the giving the sales tax. However, Yochanan says, no, afil mutoris beferis nami osur. No, it has nothing to do with the reich. Forget about the reich. It has to do with the fact that you're giving hanot to the avodah zarah. Kal v'choyme, madach nehena osur, if the Torah asks you to have hanot from the avodah zarah, or the takroivis avodah zarah, from the reich, mahana lekolshkein. Wouldn't you think that for sure the Torah is answering giving them hanoah? It's bad enough you're getting hanoah, but to give hanoah to the Avodah Zarah by paying sales tax, chas v'shol. Now, as we're going to see that this machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in fact a machlokes tanoim between Reb Noson and the Rabban. So we start off with Reb Noson. Meisvei, we have a bright Reb Noson oimer yoyim shevodis kechov menachas boyesem meches. The day when the Avodah Zarah charges the sales tax, machrizin v'oimrin, they make a big announcement. Kol misha noitel atorah v'yaniach b'roishoy u'b'roish chamoiroi l'chvoid avodas chechovim yaniach lo yes ha-meches. V'yem lav al yaniach lo yes ha-meches. What the idolaters did was, they wanted to incentivize people to show their allegiance to these idols. And what did they do? They made an announcement. If you're going to go and show allegiance to this idol, how? Instead of putting on a big button, like you would probably do today, like a campaign button for a particular candidate, which says, MAGA is best, or I favor Trump, or I favor whoever. Cuomo, ich weiß. Here, what they used to do is they would go and put an Atorah Beroishai. The Art Scrolls translates the word Atorah like the word wreath. You're all familiar with nowadays during the Kratzmach season that many people put on wreaths on their doors or on their trees or whatever they do with them. So if a person was willing to put such a wreath on his head and on the head of his chamar, this was a sign of allegiance. Yeah, I'm one of the, in the camp of this idol, and therefore, what would be the din? Yaniach lo yisamechas, he gets a break. He doesn't have to pay the sales tax. You know, his actions speak louder than his money. The fact that he is going and putting that wreath on shows, oh, he's together with that idol on the same team, and then he doesn't have to pay the sales tax. However, Imlav, if you're not willing to put such a wreath on your head and the wreath on the head of your chamar, al yaniach lo yisamechas, then you don't get any break. You're going to have to pay Rabbi Isai. So now, says the Braisa, a Jew, Yehudi Shanim Tzisham, a Jew that happens to be in that town, on that day, he has a terrible quandary. Mayas, Vozol Eton. He wants to buy something in that store because he needs that particular item. So what should he do? Zok to Yomar. Yaniach, if he's going to go into the store, and he's going to go and put that wreath on his head, Nimtze Nehene, he's going to have Anua. What's the Anua he's going to have, says Rashi? Because this wreath was made out of the same type of Bsamim, Vered, Hadasim, and therefore the whole day he's going to go around, and it's going to smell like a perfumery. He's going to have all this wonderful Bsamim on his head. So he's going to have Anua. Lo Yaniach, if he's not going to put the wreath on his head, Nimtze Mahana, then he's going to have to go and pay the sales tax. And we said in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to pay the sales tax. Mikan Omru, and therefore what they said is, now before we continue Mikan Omru, you see already this is a direct challenge on Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish said on the top of the Amid that Mahana Ishori, you're allowed to go and pay the sales tax to the Avodah Zarah, and it's not an issue. You're not allowed to have Hanor, but you're allowed to give Hanor. This price is very befeirish. A Jew who's there is in a quandary. On the one hand, if he has to put on that wreath, so he saves himself a couple of bucks in terms of the sales tax, but he's going to have anah from this takrav the Savoy Dezorah, from all these psalmim. On the other hand, if he's not going to put on the wreath, then it says, lo yaniach nimtze mahana, he's going to be mahana the Avoy Dezorah. So Reish Lakish should say, nigzantai, there's no problem, mahana is shari. So this is the kasha for Reb Nosson on Reish Lakish. But now, before we get to the actual kasha in the Gemara, we're going to go through the rest of the Brais and Mikan Omru. And therefore, they said the following. Mr. Yid, you shouldn't be in that town, and you should not be in that store. The only reason why you have this quandary is because you want to buy an item in this store. Have an Eitzah Toiva. Come back tomorrow when they won't have the sales tax. It's only a one-day sales tax on the Yom Id, on the holiday. Or have another Eitzah, go into another store which ain't a Mu'utaris, that don't have any such meches at all. So you have that other Eitzah. If you decide that you want to dafka buy in this store, we're going to impose a penalty, as the Braisa will now say. Now, Shelley wants to add something.
Yeah, question, a serious question. Don't you have to pay for the wreaths? And that's not going to be more than the sales tax?
The wreaths were donated by idolaters who were very, very generous to the idols. They initially brought it into the church, and they adorned the altar or the idol with it, and really made it pretty and nice, and that was called the Takroivis, their sacrifice on behalf of the Avodah Zarah. When Mass was over, and everybody left en masse, what did they do with the flowers? They knew they were just going to eventually go bad, so they quickly took them into the stores, and they said, Chavra, if you want to wear them as a wreath on your head and on your chamor, you get a break. If you don't, then you have to go and pay the sales tax. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Zok to Gemara.
Who's going to pay taxes? The only one who pays taxes will be the Jews. They have this quandary because all the goy would wear the wreath.
Okay, so therefore it was a good incentive to go and show allegiance to the Avodah Zarah. And there could have been some Episcopalians there, and maybe this was a Methodist holiday or a Catholic holiday. So there could be other idolaters, but not necessarily of the same one. There could be a Marculius guy instead of a Baal or any of the others that we've had in the past. So that is, before we continue on, if you remember, the top Toisus asked, why would Reish Lakish hold that you're allowed to be Mahana? After all, you're giving Hano, you're giving money, and you're supporting the Avodah Zarah. So we said that the first teretz of Toisus was, because that the only problem is if you're giving them hano yaseira. You see, if you see the fourth line from the top of the toises, but the small sales tax, a kleine kite, the Gemara Rav Shlakish holds is nothing to worry about. But then Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, I'm bringing this out because it's now related to the Gemara which we just learned. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, the vade kol mahana osur. Avad, even if you give a penny, a nickel to the Avodah Zarah, it's osur. Even Rish Lakish agrees. Levad mehocha here is different. Why? When you're having this, when you're giving this hano by paying them the sales tax, it's a bizoyin for the Avodah Zarah. Why is it bizoyin? She perei hamechas v'she'en machshiv havodes kechovim kol kach she'yosim u'atore b'roishoy. He really should go and put the wreath on his head to go and show that this idol is givaldik. It's not just an idol. This idol performs miracles for me, and it does wonderful things, wondrous acts. The fact that I'm not putting on the wreath is almost a sign of protest against this Avodah Zarah. To be able to go and ameliorate the hurt and bizoyan that Avodah Zarah has, you pay a couple of pennies on your sales tax, and then the idol feels better. Oh, if they didn't want to go and sign the Pledge of Allegiance by putting on the wreath, but at least to give them some money, oh, Ishoinech, you know, Sebesavi Gunisht. So therefore, since the giving of this Hana'a is packaged in also being Mavaza the way to Zora by not putting on the wreath, that's why Rish Lakish holds that it's mutter. Anyway, continuing the Mora Zogimora Baiter. So now, this Jew that is in this quandary, but decides nevertheless to go and buy stuff from that base of Avodah Zarah, from that idolater's church-led and owned store. Mikan Omru, Hanoisim Anoisim Mishuk Shal Avodah Zarah, we're about 12 lines from the top of the Amid. A person who does business in that Shuk Shal Avodah Zarah, in the marketplace, and he's paying the tax, etc. Behema Te'oker, Peirois Ksus Ve'Kelem Yirkovu, Moisekli Matchis Elichem Liman Mamelech. What this price is telling us is, we don't want Jews to have Hano'ah on the holiday from this, anything that they're buying. And by this, leaving over tax money, sales tax money, we want to discourage this, and therefore the Chacham put a penalty on people. And what is that penalty? If you bought an Ebehema, it's Te'oker. We're going to explain what that means momentarily. If you bought Peirois Ksus V'Kelem, which are items that will get ruined over time. Peiros, of course, will get ruined very quickly. But Ksus V'Kelem, also the Ksus, if you don't protect it from the weather or whatever, it can all get tattered quickly. The Kelem can get rusty. So you cover, they let them all go bad. Moise Klimatris, because money and Klimatris will not get bad on their own. What you have to do is you throw them into Yam HaMelech. So that will be their Shamtei Kvurasam. That'll be the end of those. Vezo Iker. So what's the definition of Behemoth Te'oker? Hamanasha Parsusel Menakuvu Ulamata. If you remember, we had this a couple of days ago already in the Gemara, that Iker means that you go and cut the hamstring or whatever underneath the prosois Menakuvu Ulamata. It's on top of the prosois. Prosois are the feet all the way in the bottom, the soles and the heels of the feet. And the Arkuva, we said, is a bone or a joint higher up. Sometimes it means the knee, sometimes it means the ankle. But whatever, from Arkuva Lamata, you go and sever some of the arteries and veins, and although it won't kill the animal, it will cause the animal pain, and you won't be able to use it anymore. You're not making a treif, by the way, because if you remember, we said a couple of days in the Gemara, you're not allowed to go and make an animal treif. However, you're going to go and cause a major mum in this animal. Okay. That's Bet the Ikur. Remember that, Rabbi Yisai, put it back in the recesses of your memory, because we're going to discuss this further on the bottom of the Omid and the top of the Omid base. Okay, so let's go back to the middle of this brisa. Ketoni Mias Yaniach Nimtzenene. If you're going to put on the wreath with these wonderful flowers, you're going to have Anor. Lo Yaniach, if you're not going to put on the wreath, Nimtzimahana, you're going to go and pay the sales tax and give Hanoah to the Avodah Zarah. Frank Dimar Rish Lakish says on the top line, Mahana is Shari. Everyone, Amrav Mishar Shabred Rav Idi Kosav Rish Lakish Pligi Rabbana Leidrav Nosen Vanodi Amrika Rabbana the Pligi Alei. Says Rav Rish Lakish, a very simple teretz. You're right. Rav Nosen disagrees with me. There's no question about it. But I don't follow the opinion of Rav Nosen, who happens to be a Das Yochid. I follow the view of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan respectfully disagree with Rav Nosen. And I agree to the Rabbanan. Zokti Yomara, the Rabbanan, Kosov Rish Lakish, Pligi Rabbana Leidrav Nosen, and Amrika Rabban, the Pligi Alei. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that? Rabbi Yochanan says, well, I Pligi. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this view that we just had from Rav Nosen, this is unanimous. Both Rav Nosen and the Rabbanan all agree that you're not allowed to be Mahana the Avodas Kecham. Now, we have not quoted the Rabbanan. Freit Yomara V'loi Pligi. Do they not argue about Tanya? I have a Beferish Shabraisa, and now I'm going to learn what the Rabbanan hold. What did the Rabbanan say? Holchin li'rigel Ovdei Kechavim. You're allowed to go to that market and to that fair of the Ovdei Kechavim on the day of their holiday. V'loichin mehem, and you're allowed to buy from them. Beheima avodim shvachis batim sodis uchramim. Wow. You're allowed to make major purchases from them. Including batim real estate, sodois, fields, kromim, vineyards. Now, when you're buying real estate, as you know, even today, you have to make sure you have your title documents and make sure that your purchase is registered with the real estate registry, because otherwise someone may come and say, you don't own it, I own it, or I just bought it from someone else. And therefore says the Brice of Akusivu Malibar Choshelehen, you're allowed to even go to their courts and go to the court clerk and go and register the property sale that you bought it from Mr. Smith and now belongs to you. You're allowed to do that. Even though we know normally you're not allowed to go to Archois for litigation for a court case. This you're allowed to mishu kematzel miyodam, because this is like a hatzola. What means it's like a matzel miyodam? Says Rashi, because if you don't go and register your purchase of these items in the court registry, in a day, in a week, in a month, somebody's going to come by, notice that you didn't register, and what they're going to do is they're going to say the property belongs to them. So that's considered to be matzel miyodam. Yeah. V'mhoye koyin. And if the individual that bought the property is a koyin, metame b'chutz la'aretz lodun ula'ar imoem. Even if it means that he has to go to a court somewhere in Chutz Laretz, and we know that the Chum were goyzer not to go out to the Eretz Amim, because unfortunately the idolaters at that time, the pagans, were not makbid where they buried their mesim. They just buried them everywhere and anywhere without putting up any markers that there was a grave and that someone passed away, and therefore a kohen is not allowed to go into Chutz Laretz. But for these purposes, he's allowed to go into Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because Neshu Matzel Miyodim. Remember, this is a Din Rabbanan, it's not the Araisa. So the same Rabbanan gave a heter, and they say that if it means that you're going to lose your pants, lose your property, then you're allowed to go into Chutz La'aretz. Ukishen, you have a question, Ariel?
Yeah, the Braisa that we just read, is that inclusive of their holidays? Because it just says you're allowed to go to their markets and buy animals, slaves, and maidservants. But does that mean just any regular old day of the week, or that's inclusive of their holidays?
It's inclusive of their holidays. And that's the only reason why the Gemara concludes that there's a machlokes between Reb Nosson and the Chacham. Because if we're talking about any other day of the week, then Reb Nosson would, then everybody would agree that there's no problem in buying from them. There's no isser in buying from an idolater, just as long as you're not showing support in terms of giving meches, sales tax, and that sales tax was only charged on the holiday, as well as throughout the rest of the year they didn't have these wonderful verodim and hadasim, so there was no problem of having hanoah from the avodas. Yes.
What if you were just a regular, like, let's say every Tuesday, that's what your day that you went shopping for provisions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the next Tuesday happens to be one of their holidays, but for you, going there regularly every Tuesday to buy your provisions.
Mm-hmm. So the answer is that under normal circumstances, we learned in the first Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and transact any business with them on their holidays, and even 3 days before their holidays, you have to go and cease and desist. You'll remember that the Rashi in the Mishnah said, it depends what you are buying or what you are selling. If you are selling them something, then they're going to be very, very happy and they're going to go and celebrate with their idols. On the other hand, if you're buying from them something, especially an item that has some sort of sentimental value and all the rest, if anything, you're not making them happy, they're making them upset because you're taking away from them these personal items that otherwise they cherish and that they love. So it depends on the circumstances. But since you are raising this issue, you should know it's only Rashi that learns Pshat. Not only Rashi, but Rashi is the one that learns Pshat that our Mishnah is talking about, B'yom Idshalehem. Tosis is very bothered by all that, because Tosis says, if it has to be Yom Id, back in the Mishnah on Daf Beis, we didn't make any distinction between Yom Meches and Nish Meches, whether you're giving them sales tax or not, and whether they're wreaths that smell so beautifully. And we didn't talk about only the holiday. We're talking about 3 days before the holiday. So therefore, Tosis does not like Rashi's Pshat, and he says that we're talking about, in fact, other days of the year which were not holidays. If you look at the Tosis back on Yud Beis Amid Beis, the Ir Shiyesh Ba'avodes Chechavim, it's the fourth Tosis from the beginning of the Amid, Ir Shiyesh Ba'avodes Chechavim, Pir Shekuntris, Regilis Hu Liois Lehen Shuk V'Yerid B'Yom Idam, V'Sheinu Mutaris, Hainu Taim Adem Mutaris, V'Shem Dolim Machim Inayu Hanolo V'Yerid Chechavim, because there is no tax. V'Mishem Nois V'Noisim B'Yom Idam, that's only to buy from them, but to go and sell to them. But if you're going and buying from them and taking away their items, he's upset. Okay, that's another discussion. But now if you go towards the end of the Tosis, skip down to the fifth of the wide lines, you'll see towards the end of the line, Lekach Pirish Abeinu Meir, this is two lines before the end of the Tosis. This is talking about a Yerid. Yerid is like a county fair, which was not a daily event. This was probably, every month or whenever. They made a Yerid, and people would come to that big marketplace. That's just like you have today's street fairs. But the street fairs that you have today, really, they just sell trinkets and all types of nonsense. Their Yerid was the place where people would come to make money and sell them. In other words, this was a major, major opportunity for wholesalers and retailers to get together and to do business and to buy and to sell. If it's not, inamutaris is not a problem because it's not a yontif day, it's not a yom id day, it's a regular day of the year. However, since you're participating in the rid, this was a golden opportunity for the idols to make money for their church, for their celebrations, whatever. So that was the problem. So it's Tavke talking about a shaloi biyoim idam, not on the holidays, but at the times of Yerit. So that's how Tois is going to start. So getting back to our Gemara now, so answering Ariel's question, both the Remnosin that we had at the top and this new Braisa, which we just brought from the Rabbanan, are not talking about Yom Id, a holiday, or even prior to the holiday. It's talking about a Yom Yerid, a day when there is this county fair and people come together to transact and sell goods and buy goods, including real estate and avodim and shvachos, sodus, uchramim. This is a major, maybe it wasn't every month, maybe it was every 3 months, whatever. And at that time, if you went into a store, which were mutarais, this is church property, you're giving now sales tax to the churches. On the other hand, if it was not mutaris, then do business like usual. Okay, so getting back now to the beginning of the Brice and just run through it again. V'hatanya. This is 6-7 lines before the wide lines. Holchon liyarid shaloi v'cham. You go to one of these big fairs. V'loi k'chamehen, you're allowed to go and buy. Behem avonim shvachis botim sodas chromim v'koysim mal v'choy shalhen. You're even allowed to go and register these purchases in the court system there. And they should kamasal miyodim. Otherwise, you're going to lose your property. Again, if there is a guy that is challenging your ownership of this property in Chutz La'aretz, even allowed to go into Chutz La'aretz, even if you're a kohen, because the whole isser of tumah in Chutz La'aretz is the Rabbanon, That is, we're talking about the Sofik, real Tumah for Shteitzach is Aser. But if you're not sure whether or not something is Tumah because of a possible Kaver, you're not allowed to go in. However, for these purposes, a Chachamim were Matir, Lodin al-Arimai. Ukishem Shematam b'chutzlaz, kach matam b'isek forest. You're even allowed to go into a cemetery, Koin. Now, normally you wouldn't hold a litigation in the cemetery, because most of the residents in the cemetery really could not stand up and go and present their cases. What we mean to say is, if to get to the courthouse, the only derech is to go through the cemetery, that would also be permissible. But of course, the Yomar immediately shuts up and screams, how can you say that the basic forest? So, Kadai, the Tumadi Araisi, a coin is allowed to go. Mal a coin the basic forest. What is the coin doing running through the cemetery? You know the famous story with the Panovich Yeruv. Panovich Yeruv at the beginning of the Medina had tremendous dreams of building and building and rebuilding what we lost during the Shoah, during the Holocaust. So he went to the city of Bnei Brak and he was telling people, you see on top there, I'm going to build a huge yeshiva. And you see over there, I'm going to go and build a huge Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash, Pnimiya, and Bati Ovois for senior citizens, and the like. And people said to him, Panovich Yeruv, you're chuliming, you're dreaming. And his response was, Sistake emes, and I'm chuliming, but I'm not sleeping. Most people dream when they are sleeping. I'm dreaming when I'm awake, and therefore, Miyat Hashem, I'll be successful. Now, how did he, in fact, finances. So one of the things he decided was he wants to go and get a piece of property to make a cemetery. Figured everybody unfortunately passes away, you have to go and pay certain dues, and with those monies he'll be able to go and build and rebuild and all the rest. And so they say that at that time he had to meet with the government officials to get a permit to open up and maintain a cemetery in Bnei Brak. So one of the Chavri Knesset said to him, the Panovich Yeruv was a koyin, and he said, Mal koyin bebeisek furois. How do you get the cemeteries koyin? Anyway, so that's the story over here, and I don't have to tell you that the Panovich Yeruv's dreams all materialized, and he built a huge edifice of Panovich Yeshiva and many other related institutions in Bnei Brak. One person, if you have dreams and you have the Siyata Deshmaya, you can get it all done. But getting back to our Gemara. So how could the Kohen go through the basic forest? And for the Gemara, you're 100% right. I didn't really mean the basic forest. I really mean the Beis HaPeres, the Beis HaPras, which is the Rabbanan. What's a Beis HaPras? Beis HaPras is, there are different cases of Beis HaPras, but for our purposes, it's talking about that we know that there was a kever in a particular field, and we know that that kever was Nechrash. Nechrash means that someone took a plow and plowed over the whole field, and therefore, if there was a human body, Nebuch, in that field, any bones would have scattered up to 100 amos away. Now, if you only have one bone is not metame the oihel. The reason is, of course, metame the oihel, you have to have roiv minyan or roiv binyan. However, it is metame b'maga u'b'masa. And therefore, the Chacham said, even though this base of pras has been plowed over, so we don't have to worry about an oil situation that a person is going in and he's walking over the bones, but I am concerned that he's going to be kicking the bones by mistake, just by walking through the field. That's a tumas maga, therefore that's tumas maga up to 100 amis, a room in a room from the place where that caver was. A coin is not allowed to go, but that's the Rabbanan. Since it's the Rabbanan, once again, if he wants to argue about the ownership of Batim Sodas Uchramim, he's allowed to go through the Beis HaPras to accomplish that. And further, says the Brais, a person is allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz, even if he's a Kohen, and he's allowed to go for these two major purposes, Luma Torah to learn, Lisa Isha to go and get married. When you're telling me you're allowed to go to Chutz Laaretz from Eretz Yisrael to Luma Torah, that's Tavka, if there aren't, there is no Panovich Yeshiva, there is no place to learn. If there are yeshivas there, why should you go to Lakewood if you can go to Brisk or Mir or any other yeshiva? Why do you have to go and leave Eretz Yisrael? Even if there are great Torah institutions of renown in Eretz Yisrael, Yitam, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. You can have the best yeshivas, but not every Talmud can learn in every yeshiva. Every Talmud has to have a Rebbe that he's comfortable with, Chavrusas that he's comfortable with, that he feels that this is my yeshiva, yeshiva where I can grow and a yeshiva where I can blossom. And that's why it's not one size fits all, says Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you, even a master shahoya, master Yosef HaKoyin. Obviously, he was a Koyin. Shteitoch Yosef HaKoyin. Shalach Acher Rabbi LeTzaydon. He followed his Rebbe to Tzaydon, which was in Chutz Laretz. Lil Moy Torah. And the Rabbi didn't tell him, you're not allowed to. You're leaving Eretz Yisrael. No, this is his Rebbe that he felt comfortable with. No problem. Now, don't tell me this Braisa was unknown. Okay, so what is the message of the Braisa? The message of the Braisa at the very outset is that Holchem Liyarid, you're allowed to go to the Yarid of the Oivik Achav, and you're allowed to buy and sell and do and whatever. And the assumption is that you're going to have to pay the Meches. And it says in this Braisa, you're allowed to. So this Braisa supports the view of Rish Lakish, that Mahana is Shari, Shven Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Madach, you're not allowed to have Hano, you're certainly not allowed to give them Hano. You're giving them Hano, you're buying at the Yarid, and you're paying sales tax. Geferlich, how is this permissible? And so now you're going to tell me maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't know about this Braisa, and therefore, you know, often, or from time to time, the Gemara will say, Sinish Geferlich, every Amoira was required to know every single Mishnah, but not every Amoira knew every Braisa, and as we know, not all Braises were considered to be as authentic as a Mishnah. The Gemara gives noted exceptions for the braises of Rab Chia and Rab Oishia, but other braises lav davka. However, we see, says Imam Rab Yochanan, loch Rab Yosi, and this latter part of the braise, when we talked about, can you leave Eretz Yisrael lil moy Torah, Rab Yochanan said, we pass like Rab Yosi, yes, you can leave Eretz Yisrael to lil moy Torah. Alma, so what do we see from this? Pligi, that in fact there is a machloikis in this braise. And what does it say in this braise? That you are allowed to go and be Mahana, and you're allowed to go to the Yerid. Now, this Braisa is the Das Rab, this is the Rabbanan. Is Rabbi Yochanan Paskalin correct? Reb Nosson above. The Reb Nosson said, no, you're not allowed to be Mahana. After all, if there's a machlok between a Yochanan and a Rabbim, why wouldn't Rabbi Yochanan follow the Rabbim? We see from the Braisa clearly, you're allowed to go to the Yerid and buy and buy and buy. No problem. There's no machlekes. V'loy kash. Kan b'lekech mina tagar d'shakli mechsem inei. Kan b'lekech mi balabayis l'shakli mechsem inei. What the Gemara is telling us is when they had these yeridim, these major fears, it depends on whether you were a tagar. Tagar means you're a merchant, or whether you were just a plain simple balabos. If you happen to be a merchant and you bought a booth, when you bought a chvaisib, built up a tent, etc. on the day of the Yerid, to go and sell and buy and all of that, oh, then you're going to have to go and pay sales tax. However, if you have these balabata, meaning private peddlers, to figure, oh, this is an opportunity to make a couple of bucks, and they didn't buy a booth, and they didn't put up a tent, they're just peddlers walking around the street, would you like to go and buy this, would you like to go and buy that? Those were not regulated by the churches or by the idols, and therefore, that you didn't have to go and pay the tax. So, on the top of the Amud, we talked about Reb Nosson, that was talking about formal tagorim. There you had to pay the tax, and therefore the Braisa said, no. And this second Braisa is talking about that you're buying and dealing with balabatim, not with professional merchants, and then you didn't have to go and pay the tax. And that's why it's what. Okay, so with this we've entered the Kashas and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and now we're going to go back to the original Braisa, where we said that according to Reb Nosson, as a penalty for those people that bought in these stores and paid the tax on the yoin itchalahem, guess what? If you bought an animal, we're going to do an ikur, behemati oker. He said, Omer Mar, behemati oker. Freyti Mora, how did we define ikur? That you had to go and sever the arteries beneath the ankle bone or whatever. Freyti Mora, v'ikatar balachayim, the animal is going to be in pain. How do you allow to do something like that? Where is this pasuk? This pasuk is talking about, says Rashi, in Yehoshua, that when Yehoshua was fighting against the enemies of the Shiva Amamim in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says you're allowed to be able to go and subjugate them, you're allowed to go and cause this ikur of the susim, even though it involves Tzar Balachayim, but if you will, it's for a higher and bigger and better cause, where the Torah is matir, this type of Tzar Balachayim. Ah, says the Gemara, as a strong incentive to people, or as a disincentive to people, that they should not go and buy these items on the Yom Id and pay the tax, guess what? The Chum said, if you're going to do that, we're going to follow what it says in the Torah, that's the same Tiokir, we're going to cause that, the in fancy English it's called to hamstring the animals. Omamar, Bezu Ikur. What is that? As we defined before, Menashe Parisea Parsoiseha Menarkuv Lamata. Break to Mara Mini. I have a similar brisa, which talks about a totally different topic. It's talking about Bezman Hazeh. Don't be Makdish Machrim or Marech. Now, all three of those, Makdish Machrim and Marech, were typically in connection with donating items to the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes in the form of an actual carbon. However, Rashi says, really, this Bryson, not talking about Karbonis, it's really talking about donations to Bedek HaBayis. So, this was very, very nice in the good old days when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Ariel, are you asking a question?
No, sorry.
Okay, no, I just saw your hand uplifted, so I wasn't sure. Anyway, so continuing, so it says in the Braisa, Ein Makdish, don't be Makdish or Machrim. Here this Gemara holds its Stam Charamim L'Berek Abayis, because it's a Machloikis with a Stam Chel L'Berek Abayis or Stam Charamim L'Kehanim. So here we're talking about that he's Makdish, a table, a chair, whatever, or he's Machrim, or he's Ma'arich. Marech, of course, is referring to Erechin, when you say Erech Ploini Alai, and then it depends on that person's gender, and it depends on that person's age. You know about this, the Psukim and Matas Masei go through all of the different amounts that a person has to give. So don't do Bizman Hazeh. Why not? Because it's what we call Osi Lidei Takola. I know all of us have that fervent wish, desire, hope, aspiration that Mashiach is going to come today and tomorrow, Chakle B'chol Yom Shiyovai. But Chas V'Sholem, if it doesn't, and I'm going to go and be Makdish, whether it's an animal or a table or a chair or whatever, it's Kodesh, it's Hegdish now. You know what's going to happen? People will forget over time that it's Hegdish. They are going to use it, abuse it, misuse it, and they'll be Moil B'Hegdish. So therefore, don't do it. Now, just in case a person wants to be a wise guy, Chum said, we're going to do an ikur on the behemah. It's very similar to the purse price that we brought with Reb Nosson. Now is the punchline. Freit the Gemara, you told me ikur before is to go and cut and hamstring the animal. You know what ikur is? Noyil delis befaneha v'meisa me'eleha. What you do is, you go and put the animal into a room, lock the door, come back 2 weeks later, and you'll find that the animal has unfortunately died. That's the way to do the ikur. You told me that Amid Aleph, you're supposed to go and hamstring the animal. Here it says you're supposed to go and put it into this room. What's going on? Amar Abaye, Shani Hasim Mishim Bizoyin Kachim. Here we're talking about something that you were maktish, such as an animal. You makdish an animal, if you're going to go and now cut the arteries down below, even though you're not matrif the animal, you now let him make an animal treifa. However, it's a bizoyin. Why is it a bizoyin? Because people are going to see this animal is limping around, and they're going to see that the animal is in pain. And the animal is eventually going to go and die as a result of all of this. People say you're being mavaza kodshim. Don't do it, don't be mavaza, just put it into the room, close the door, and then there won't be any bizoyin. Why don't you just go and shecht the animal? And of course, don't go and eat from it because it's all holy. You're going to be moil, but shecht it, and then you don't have a problem with bizoin kochim. You don't have to put it into a room. So tomorrow again, possibly day takala. Once you shecht it, people think that's kosher meat, and people will eat from it. I have another eitz. The shavi gistera means go and cut the animal down the middle, like you had by the brisbane absorim. You just cut the animal from the neck downwards to the legs, and by that, you're going to kill it, you're going to make it into a nevela, as well as probably a treifa. Nobody's going to eat from it because that was not a shechita. And you don't have to go and put it into a room where it starves. And you don't have to go and hamstring it. So isn't that a better idea? Now this pasuk is talking about when Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, that the pasuk tells us in Devarim, if you look at the Torah Ora Sholem, when he tatsim es mizbechoisim, he's supposed to go and destroy their altars. Shibartim es matzevoisim, and destroy their matzevois. Vashirei and tisufun be'esh, go and burn the asherim in fire. Psil eliheim tegadeon, go and cut down all of their idols. Vibartim shema mokamahu, but that's all vis-a-vis the idols and the idol worship and matzevis and some things which are all related to worshipping of idols. But don't do anything like that with respect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ah, so therefore what we're saying is, if a person takes what was until now Hegdish, and you're going to go and cut it down Kigistera, that sounds like abusing it as if you are doing this to Navoide Zara, Lysas and Cain. He can't do that. Okay, so that is the first answer. Again, we had a stira on the Omer Aleph, we said the Gabbai the Behemoth of the Avodah Zorah stores. There you have to do the ikur, you hamstring it. And here we said that no, you put it into a room and close the door. So Abaye gave a teretz, al tzbizoyin kachim. Rabbi Omar, I give another teretz. You know the reason why we cannot hamstring the kosher animals that you are maktish, men neshanira kematal mum bekachim. It appears to be as if you're making a mum in kachim, and that's terrible. Frey Timura, nira mum aliyahu. This is not just nira, it appears to be. You're making a real live mum. You're not making a treif, but you're making it a mum by going and hamstring it and cutting it there on the bottom. Aren't you over on the isser? Now, what isser is there to go and make a mum? The Pasuk says, v'chol mum lo yihye boy, and the Gemara darshed lo yihye lo yahaye boy. You're not allowed to make a mum to kachim. If you're not allowed to make a mum to kachim, why do you say it's nira kematl mum? You should say that it's a mum aliyah. It's mamish a mum. Every more hani mil bin majib is vinish kai in the chos v'akrov. The isser of making a mum to kachim is only when you're able to be makrav the carbon. Hashli chos v'akrov less lanba. Today, unfortunately, when you say today means that this minute, hopefully in an hour or two, we'll get the good news that the mitzvah is being rebuilt. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to send the Beis Hamikdash down, fully rebuilt. Hashli chos rakava, less lan ba, then there's no longer an iser of making a mum in kachim. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit difficult according to Rashi, because Rashi says we're talking about over here hegdish for bedek kabayis, and not hegdish for the mizbeach. Hegdish for bedek kabayis, l'choyer, there's no difference if you make a mum or if you don't make a mum. The whole iser of Komum l'yia, boy, he's talking about if you're being makrevit on the mizbeach, not a mum when you have bedek abayis. So Toisus already asks this kasha on Rashi, and because of that, Toisus disagrees, and he says that our Gemara is talking about kochim mizbeach and not kochim bedek abayis. But nevertheless,
if it's rei la'krova, if it's rei la'krova, even if it's kochim bedek abayis, it's kedushas haguf.
You're telling me it's an automatic upgrade.
Right, exactly.
Okay, we've had that discussion in the past, Barry, and let me just remind you that what Barry is saying is, any time you're makdish a behema, which in fact is a sholem and a tam, and you're makdish it kedushas domim, since it's royal mezbeach, automatically it gets upgraded from kedushas domim to kedushas aguf, and you have to bring it on the mezbeach. Now, what Barry is saying is true, but it's only half true. What do I mean it's half true? Because there are two definitions of Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Damim classically means that you're maktish something for Bedek Habayis, and your full intent is not to bring a carbon, but rather to help out Bedek Habayis of the Beis HaMikdash when it needs maintenance and repair and paying salaries, the Gizborim, the Amarkalim, those that go and bake the Lechem upon him, etc., those that manufacture the Ktoidis and the Levoina, etc., etc. That's Kedushas Damim. But there's another Kedushas Damim, and that is that you're Makdish an animal for Kedushas Damim to bring, not this animal, but to bring an animal for a carbon. Meaning, I want to go and donate an animal for a carbon oilets, a carbon shlomim, and I'm looking for the perfect animal. In the meantime, I have an animal in my corral, in my barn. It's not ideal. It's not the one I really want to bring for a carbon, but I say, you know what? In the meantime, this will be a placeholder, and I makdish a kedushas damim for the purpose of selling it when I find a better animal. I'll take the money after I sell this one, and I'll buy a nicer one. So he only intended being makdish this animal for kedushas damim, not for kedushas mizbech. However, the halacha is, like Barry was saying before, that any animal that you're makdish for purposes of hakrav, but you're saying, I don't want this animal to be nikrav. I only want to be makdish kedushas damim and take the money, and after that use the money to buy another animal. There's an automatic upgrade if this animal is ro'oi lamizbech. However, if you're being makdish, whether it's an animal or anything else, legizbar, for better kabayas, then the halacha is, it does not get upgraded to kedushas mizbeach. I didn't want to bring it for the mizbeach. I want to bring it for the gizbar, for davka, for the repair and maintenance for Bede Kabayis or the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So Zok Gemara, the whole isser of making a mum matal mum b'mikdash, matal mum b'kodshim is only b'zman she Beis Hamikdash kayim. Today, unfortunately, there's no Beis Hamikdash. There's no din of however, says Rava, that even though there's no din d'oraisa, but there's a din d'rabbanon, and that's why it's nera kimatul mum bekotchim. You're not over the iser d'oraisa, but you're over the iser d'rabbanon. It's nochvam. Sahani milim might be rish kain lechaz la'krava. Hashli lechaz la'krava leslam, but there's no din d'oraisa, and that's why it's only nera. Frank Timara. Okay. You cannot bring it for a carbon. There's no base in English. For the heavy kematel mum bebal mum. Why don't we say that it has the same din as being matel mum and an existing mal mum? The avgav doli chozel akrava osur. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us how do I know the matel mum bebal mum is osur. However, Rashi tells us that this happens to be a Mishnah in Kodeshim and Mesechtes Bechoyrois. We are talking about a bechor sheachozoy dam. The Bechor itself already had a mum, and now you want to go and take it to the Makiz Dam. Makiz Dam, of course, is the blood letter that would release the blood from this animal because it was very sickly as a result of having too much blood. Nowadays, you would go and prescribe blood pressure pills, but they didn't have that in those days. So the question is, can you be Makiz Dam on a Bechor that already has a mum? It's already about mum. So now making a hole for purposes of bloodletting, l'choyd is not a problem. So there's a discussion in the Mishnah there, and what the Gemara is telling us is, at least according to all of those man the Umrim that hold that you're not allowed to give this animal to be a makazdam, even though it's a pre-existing baal mum, nevertheless, you're not allowed to be matal mum the baal mum. So what do I see? L'choyd, that's our case over here. All kabbanis today are, in a sense, bali mum, they're not royal hakrava because there's no Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, still there should be an issa d'oraisa of making a mum in a baal mum. For the heavy kimatul mum bin baal mum, afa gavdali chozi the hakrava, it's asur, even though this animal is a baal mum and therefore it's not royal hakrava. You're still not allowed to make a baal mum, you're not allowed to make a mum. So why is Rava saying it's only drabanan? L'choyd it's d'oraisa. Everywhere, baal mum nina loy chozi legufe, ledomi chozi. What the Gemara is saying is, even though I can no longer bring it for Hakrova for the Mizbeach, what did they do in the good old days when an animal that was a carbon developed a mum? What they did was, since it's a Baal Mum, I go and I'm poid it, and I take the money, and I use it to buy a new animal. That's at the times that the Beis Hamikdash stood. So even though this animal is a Baal Mum, and I cannot bring it for a carbon, but I can still be poided and use the money for a new carbon. However, today I can't even use the money for a new carbon. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, that's why there is no d'oraisa of being matal mum bebal mum. Only drabanon, because it's nearer to go and make a bal mum. Zokti Gemara, when do I say that? Bal mum, nehi d'loi chaz l'gufei l'dami chazi. In the good old days when the Beis Hamikdash stood, you couldn't bring the baal mum for a carbon, but you can be paid and take the money and buy a new carbon. Lafuki hach in our case. So leil adami chazi, v'leil gufei chazi. Unfortunately, you cannot bring it for either a carbon itself or use the money to buy a new carbon. and therefore you would minhag Torah be allowed to make a mum in the form of the ikur of the hamstringing. But midrabanan, says Rava, it's also midrabanan, because it's nira kibata mum bekachim. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Ashke Rabbi Yoina le Rabbi Eloi de koi apischa de tzur. Rabbi Yoina met Rabbi Eloi. They're both standing at the entranceway to Tzur, to the town of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Amale, Ketani, we learned behemoth yoker. That's what it says in the Braisa. What about Evan Mai? In other words, back in that same Braisa on the Amud Aleph, it says that don't go and buy from the Arid. And if you did, if you bought an Evan and a Shifran and a behemoth and all those things, also don't do it. Behemoth says to Yaakov, Evan Mai, what would you do by the Evan? Would you also go and hamstring the Evan? So Timora, what type of Evan are you talking about? Evan you saw, like coming by it. Avada, you wouldn't do that to Ayid. After all, as the Ayid can't go and make a Chabola Chabur Ayid. If the Evan himself happens to be an idol worshipper, is that a problem of hamstringing? Amalei, my coming by Yilach. A dover pasha that you're not allowed to. How do I know you're not allowed to? Time you have a braisa. What does that mean? If you have someone who does avoid Zara, or roi behemadaka, who's considered to be a Russia because he's a gazlan, these type of people, loy malin means what happens if they fell into a bar and they are screaming out, help me, help me, help me. No, don't help them out because they deserve to stay in the bottom of the bar. But you're not allowed to kill them. You're not allowed to go and throw them into the bar. And therefore, says Rashi, just like you're not allowed to go and throw an Oivik Chom or the Roi Behemadaka into a bar to go and kill them, similarly, you cannot go and kill the Eved Oivik Chom by going and hamstring him and cutting his arteries on the bottom of his feet, because although he won't die on the spot, but it's a slow death. It's only a matter of time until Chas V'Shalom you cause his death. So clearly, that's awesome. Eved Yisrael, we had in the second braisa where the Chacham said, no, on B'yom Yerid, you're allowed to buy. Didn't we say before you're paying the mechas? Remember, the Rabbanan said it's talking about a balabas and not a tagar, and therefore you didn't have to pay any mechas. But it says you're allowed to go and buy behem avonim shvachis. Why are you allowed to do this? After all, it's a yom id shalehen, according to Rashi. And even it's not a yom id, it's a yirid of the Arvdik HaChavim. What are you getting involved? Go on another day. Go to a yirid of Yidin. What are you doing there? So Zokti Yimora, Eved, so when it says, loikhen mehen, behem avonim shvachis. What type of Eved? Eved Yisrael, or Yidum afil Eved Arvdik HaChavim? Are you talking about a yid, or you're talking about a goyish Eved? Amalei, Mestavra, Eved Yisrael. The Eved Oivik Chavim, L'may Mi Boyle. Why are you buying him, you know? The Gemara is not asking why you're buying Eved Oivik Chavim. Everybody can use a slave or two. Everybody can use house help or helpers in the farm and stuff like that. Rashi says, my mitzvah yesh kan, the Nishrile. Why should we permit him to go to the Yerid and buy all these items? Buy it tomorrow when it's not a Yerid. Buy it from a Yid. Don't buy it from a Goy. Then give mechas. What are you doing this for? There is a benefit by making him into an Eved, even though he's still an Oivik Chavim, but he already gets immediately all mitzvahs ki'isha, as well as eventually, if he is freed, he'll be a full-fledged Yid. So therefore, he'd be machtes tachas shchina. That's why it's permissible. Why do we permit buying behemoths? It's true, we said once you buy it, you have to hamstring it. But the Braisa says you can go and buy it. I'm sorry, the hamstring is according to Rav Nosson, not according to the Rabban. According to the Rabban, you're allowed to go and buy the Avodim Shvachis and the Behemoths. Why are you allowed to go and buy it? Evdimol Mishom Mi'utayu. Vusais Mi'utayu. Mi'utayu means that when you have a goyish seller of these animals, he is in an elevated, exalted position. As a ganze macher, a ganze knacker, a millionaire that has all of these behemoths and all these avodim, so we want to go and bring him down from his elevated status by buying the things from him, so he shouldn't have any more behemoths, he shouldn't have any more avodim. Since that is part and parcel of what you're doing, you're taking away his hard goods. So that is permissible. And remember what Rashi said before, when you buy these things from the Avichavim, he is otziv, he is sad. And so therefore, it's a good thing when you're depriving him of his property, so then these Avichavim no longer have, you know, a political control and political influence and all the rest. Now the Gemara tells the story of Yaakov Zovin Sandala. Yaakov bought shoes. Yirmiyahu Zovin Pita, he bought bread. Again, we're talking about one of these Yeridim. I know there's a problem. How can you go and buy bread? Isn't that Pas Akum? The bottom Toysis talks about that. It's talking about Pas Palter, but Mokum She'ein Pas Yisrael. So Pas Palter is Mutter. Anyway, you'll look at the bottom Toysis. So he bought sandals, he bought bread. Omli Chad L'Chavrei. Yasma. Yasma means you're acting like an orphan. Orphan, says Rashi, B'loy Das, that you're leaving your head behind and you're not thinking. Ovid Rabbi Chochi, would your Rebbe permit this? What's the problem over here? You're buying schoira on the Yom HaShuk of the Avodas Kechavim, and they're collecting meches. We send our Mishnah, if you're collecting meches, it's prohibited. How could you allow that? So each one criticized the other for buying from the Arid on the Yom Id and giving them meches. So how can you do that? Would your Rebbe have done that? Zokti Yomara, Amalei, Idach, the other one, Walter said, Yasma Ovid Rabbi Chochi, would your Rebbe permit it? Utravayu, both of them, Lamaisa, were not over any Isser, because both of them bought any Balabayas of it, from a Balabas, which we said in the Amid Aleph, said the Rabbanan, you don't pay meches to the Balabas. V'cholchad v'chad, Sovar Chavroi, Mitker Zovin. However, each one thought that they had bought from a Tagar, Sovar Chavroi, my Chavr, Mitagar Zovin, he bought from a Tagar, and we said, Mitagar, you're not allowed to, because of the meches. Each one thought about the other one.
If it's from a Balabais, how can you buy bread? If it's a Palter, if it's from a baker, it's one thing. If it's from a Balabais, he's allowed to buy
Again, do me a favor, please. Look through the bottom choices, and after you're finished, if you still have any remaining questions, we'll discuss it further. Anyway, Chatzov, Chavroi, Mitagar Zovin. Yom Reb Abba Brei de Reb Chia Bar Abba Leishon Al Vel Kiyachman Hat Tagar De Shakli Mechsiminei Avel Kiyach Me Balabais Lushar Milmanei is Mutter, no problem. Yom Reb Abba Brei de Reb Chia Bar Abba Il Moli Ha Yerb Yechanan Ha Zimna Ba'asru Tiko Shakli Mechsa Afilu Mi Baal Habos Hava Osar. What he's saying is, Reb Yechanan was the one that said on the Omid Aleph, because we asked the Kasha on him from the Rabbanan, said the Rabbi Yochanan, there's no machloikis between Rav Nos and the Rabban. They all agree you're not allowed to pay meches. And the second price that says you're allowed to buy on the Yom Yerid is you were buying from a balabas. You were not buying from a tagger. However, says the Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan was around today in our city, he would note that they are collecting meches not only from the tagorim, but also from the balabatim. He would say, then you can't go and buy sandalim, and you can't go and buy bread, and you can't buy anything else. So then how did they buy from the balabas? The Rabbi Yankiv Zovin Sandler, Rabbi Yimre Zovin Peter. How can you do that? You're saying even the balabas didn't go and pay the taxes. And for the Yimre balabas, Shein Kavua Zovin. So Rashi says that even among balabatim there were two madregis. If you look at the Rashi right before the Mishnah, Shein Kavua, V'lei Masik Muchsi Adatayu, in other words, there were three madregas of people that participated in these yeridim. You had the full-fledged tagorim that used to go and buy a booth or put up a tent and sell, you know, lots of merchandise and stuff. He was a tagor. For sure you had to pay a meches. And then there was a balabais kavua, these balabatim that would go and peddle every time there was a Yom Yerid. They made sure to go and to sell their wares and to buy, and they would be active. But they weren't, you know, full-fledged tagorim, which until now we learned no meches was charged. However, the church officials got wind of the fact that more and more people are now acting like balabatim and not like tagorim, so that they don't have to go and pay the tax and cannot charge the tax. So they said, you balabas, I see you every time, yeda muntig and donishtig, every time that there's Yerid, you're always here. You also have to collect tax, just like everybody else. And then you had the balabatim she'edim kavuan that would come, ayin mul and ayoivul, once in a while, that ayin mul and ayoivul person, then you were allowed to go and buy from him, no problem. With this, we conclude today's Gemara. Mitchum to continue tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.